Coming up on Patriots This Week in the league's loudest stadium. The Patriots were silenced.
They beat us like we stole something tonight.
The Monday night matchup was a punch out in Kansas City.
It was just a bad performance by everybody.
Pretty much we need to do everything better.
But there was a post-game resolve resounding in the locker room.
Hopefully we never have this feeling again.
I'll make sure we never have this feeling again.
This week, it's Sunday Night Football, and the Patriots want to prove they are prime-time players.
I feel confident that we'll be a resilient group and be able to bounce back.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
It was the Patriots that weren't ready for some football on Monday night as they got KO'd out in KC. That's right, the Chiefs took it to them. Hello again, everyone. I'm Scott Zolak, and welcome to Patriots This Week. And as usual, joining me each and every week, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins, former linebacker Matt Chatham. How you doing, Matt?
I'm all right. Hanging in there.
We've been talking about all week the offense, the offensive line. I think the defense has gotten off the hook here, but let's start with this defense at the half. 303 total yards this team gave up, and that's after giving up 16 total points the previous 2 weeks, 17 KC put on the board. What was the problem with this defense on Monday night?
A lot of different things, and those are the games you try to avoid. Kansas City, with Andy Reid's offense, did a lot of sort of fake reverse motion, a little short motion in the backfield.
A lot of 3-on-2 where they would get three outside over two in the bunch, yeah. Motion to it, Patriots couldn't adjust.
Well, the rationale behind that is they're trying to get you to false step. So at the linebacker position, to the two inside spots, they want you to take just one step here so an offensive lineman can see you when the play's back there. So they're trying to get guys, young guys, like Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower and some of these guys that don't have as much experience. Now, Dante does at this point, but Jamie, we got to remember, what, fourth professional game at an off-the-ball inside position, something that was way different than what he did.
He's reading and catching people.
And there were a lot of just one step in the wrong direction, and then, okay, now I'm sealed. And they gassed you.
Jalen Jones, through the first couple weeks, looked really good against the pass, really get handed down inside against the run. What's the problem there? You got twisted?
Or? Well, there are a couple things that I saw in this game, and Matt always talks about it, playing that outside linebacker position in the 3-4, and a couple big runs came off Chandler Jones going inside rather than keeping contained and keeping that outside leverage. If you go back and you look at it, there are a few times that he gets nosy, he peeks down in there, and they're able to bounce outside. And anybody will tell you, once you get the edge, it's over. You get a running back on the edge, he's able to make plays. And as an offensive, as a tight end, we're if we can hook that guy, but in a 3-4, you should never be able to get the edge. And I think when you look at some of the plays, it was more just bad execution, bad technique, and going inside, which led to some wide open edges.
Wiggy used the phrase that's actually coached in there. It's nosy. So Chandler does actually a really good job of setting the edge.
He's got it.
But what they have to do is, if I'm the right outside linebacker, you set the edge, but the right arm has to stay free. So you have to be able to make the play here. He gets here and just gets enough of that to where it turns around. It's very subtle. But we saw him have a really disruptive pass rush earlier in the game, and I think he felt a little more comfortable being aggressive there.
Two good plays to start the game. And then you go zone coverage on 3rd and 9 at first third down, and you got Revis, Bellin, 8 yards already off, Dwayne Bowe. That's like easy pickings, just a conversion right there. Why aren't they playing more man-to-man?
If I have Revis, I want to play as close as I can possibly get him up there, and you see when he is close and he is in position, he just missed another play on Bowe later on in the game. But when he's off coverage for some reason, I just don't understand why they allow him to give any cushion.
No cornerback wants to, for cardiovascular reasons, wants to be in a guy's face for 80 snaps. You try to mix it in. You're going to want him doing the thing he does best more of the time. But I think that's fair that in those situations, especially where the drop-off between Bowe and the next guy is pretty precipitous on that particular team. But, yeah, the more times you can challenge him, allow him to mix it up, but at a greater rate and on those important guys, you're going to want him up.
And I think the thing, I heard you on the broadcast because I was listening to the game, and you did a tremendous job, truthfully.
It's critical.
The one thing that I heard was, why is there so much cushion on third down? I mean, even if you're not playing man, even if you're in zone, you still can be close enough to the wide receiver where you can get a hand in there.
But people are saying, boy, Reeves is getting smoked.
No.
That's the job. Ty Law went through this where it was that transition from Pete Carroll to Bill. We played a lot more man-to-man with Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. Blitz guys like Laura Malloy, Willie Clay, and then Bill started to mix things up finally.
Okay, so here's the deal. The reason I would say that the cushion became sort of problematic later in the game is because the surface was such a problem. I don't know if you guys saw so many people flipping.
All day long.
So one of the things that happens is when you want to play off, which is good. I mean, I think you should mix it in because no corner wants to sit in the same coverage the whole day. But when you're having got problems tackling and you're having problems making that break, and you said the Chiefs were going down, Patriots were going down, but the Patriots really struggle with it. And one thing I noticed is a lot of guys wearing the soccer bottom cleat.
Yeah,
and the soccer bottom cleat doesn't grab – yeah, where you almost want the screw-ins in situations like that because you saw guys that were coming out of those breaks where they would have generally made those plays slipping and falling.
All right, now we have to look at the offense, guys. I don't think the line was as bad as it's been. And I know things got flipped because the score got out of hand and the game turns one-dimensional.
We know how great Coach Belichick and Scar in the past have had success with undrafted guys that they've developed, that they've made play really well. Dan Kleinantly is one of those. Dan was an undrafted guy and heralded Rose and became a good player. I think of all the guys along the lines from Joe Andruzzi and Steve Neal and Tom Ashworth and Brandon.
Neal didn't play football. You take a guy that played, was a wrestler.
And Brandon Gorin and Billy Yates. I mean, we can go on the line. But none of those guys in their first year right out of the gate jumped into that position. So I think we're looking at guys like Jordan Devey. I think we're looking at guys like even potentially Stork, even though he was drafted, guys that are probably going to be good players in this league. They might be good players in this league, but they're playing at an earlier part of the growth curve than what they otherwise have in the past. So you can look at Googe and say, well, Googe doesn't have him up to speed. But with all those names I mentioned, Scar never had to get him up to speed at that stage either.
You guys worried about your 37-year-old friend Tom Brady and massive decline because of his age and his play?
I'm 37, so we call those people.
Yeah, I'm 2 years old.
You got anything on that one?
I'm 39, but I look at it like this, and you know, it's crazy. You could put any quarterback, 27, 22.
Put Manning in this role. Would it be better?
No. You could put any quarterback behind an offensive line that's clearly struggling. You know, we talk about it week in and week out and the rotation of guys going all over the place. This offensive line is clearly struggling. And then you look at some of his offensive weapons that he has to choose from. They're not really up to speed. So you can put, doesn't matter who you put back there, right now, they're going to be struggling. And there are some throws that Brady has missed. I'm not going to give him a pass on that.
Oh, but, sure. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, and he's made some glaring
but
ones.
But to say he's in a massive decline,
it's ridiculous.
It's just a lack of not knowing the game. That's all it is. I just think that's...
I would worry more about your second-year players like Tompkins and Dobson getting sat down, healthy scratches, going into a Monday night contest where you're dressing out three wide receivers. And nobody has really stepped up and taken that next spot opposite Julian Edelman. I mean, LaFell starting to go over the middle and catch some balls. I'm liking what I'm starting to see out of Brandon LaFell. Maybe he's throwing comfortable.
He's got to be consistent, though. I think that's the key with him.
We're talking about the offensive line, rightfully so. We're talking about the skill group, rightfully so. I think you help all of them if you go back and establish a run game, and I think you have your personnel that helps you do that. I think that would probably be one of the main frustrations about not trying to establish that. And I'm not talking about shotgun runs.
Right.
I'm not talking about some of that stuff. I'm talking about putting Tom under center, working the edges. That makes life easier to block for Nate Solder because eventually you slow down those defensive end. Makes life easier for those guards because you don't have a guy just diving through a gap every play. He has to play it honest. So I think you do that. And I've said this a million times. I think you have potentially a top 10 back in Stephen Ridley. I think you have a guy who can get 20 to 25 carries and be good for you. But I think there's a little bit of a love affair with making sure that the running back is one of your receivers as well. And when you do that, it's difficult to be a running team also. And that helps Tom. I don't think Tom plays well when he has to be a 50 pass a game guy and live in the shotgun. All this thing. It's a team effort for everyone. But I think when it starts with the running game, everybody gets better.
But Zoe, let me ask you a question, because this was another thing that I heard you say on the broadcast. How much do we put on Josh McDaniels? Because I heard you say they come out throwing the football.
First three plays of the game, pass, yeah. Three and out. But you come in with that type of personnel with only three wides, I think you're telling everybody. And maybe that's part of it with Josh, where you get into the overthinking of it, where we're going to get them thinking we're going to run. They struggle against the run. Mm-hmm. They're not great against the run. And they come out throwing the ball. But, I mean, I think it's also the tease with Josh that, man, I got a Hall of Fame quarterback here. I'm going to let him handle things. Let's get going.
I think Matt hit the nail right on the head. You have to come out and establish the run, be committed to the run, and that will make things easier for your other players.
All right, guys, let's put a wrap on the Monday night game because coming up next, I love a toxic locker room. We're going to talk about the San Francisco 49ers, and we are at the quarter pole, but I think we already have an NFL MVP. That's all next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots, and Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
All
On a night to forget, Brandon LaFell had a performance to remember. The 6'3", 210-pound receiver had six receptions against the Chiefs. And it was this terrific 44-yard effort by the fifth-year pro that got him his first touchdown as a Patriot. It also got him into the Putnam Player Spotlight, which is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And guys, a game that I watched while I was sitting in a hotel last week. Philadelphia Eagles at the San Francisco 49ers. A lot made, undefeated Philly going on the road. When you watch Harbaugh work the sideline, he made me feel uncomfortable watching the game. That, I mean, everything is just, it's all tension. It's just like he's wound up. Now there's rumors circulating that, hey, 1 year left on Jim Harbaugh's contract. He's going to bounce. He's going to go to the University of Michigan. What do you make of Harbaugh? Can this thing last?
Deion Sanders sort of floating the idea and then saying, oh, but it wasn't Michael Crabtree that's my source. So now you got guys in the room wondering, who is it that said that? And is this story real? And one of the things I would point to, though, that maybe it hasn't taken root in that locker room, that was as ugly a first half as you could have. They had a block, punt blocked. They gave up a touchdown on Kaepernick. Special teams on a kick return. Kaepernick had a bad first half. Then you come back and you're challenged with that kind of adversity. They come back and look great in the second half. And I thought the biggest thing that they did that was smart, and it's been sort of the face of that Harbaugh deal, is they ran the ball. They got the ball back in Frank Gore's hands. He had a top fantasy day.
That's where you guys out there had it. Getting him the ball. Yeah, I know that they've been trying to phase Frank Gore out forever. Yeah, you know, and they get this whole thing in their heads, and I think personnel guys get it. Guy goes over 30. He can't run in this league anymore.
But I do believe in it, though. I do believe in it because I've been in a toxic locker room before when I was in Minnesota with Brad Childress. So when there is smoke, there is fire somewhere. And when guys start chirping.
Well, I'm sure he wears on them. Yeah. I mean, you watch the guy work a sideline. It's just like it's like you're in China. It's all day long.
There was issues with Vernon Davis before the season started. Right. You know,
he wants a new contract.
But there was issues with Frank Orfield. And there, so when their people are talking, players are talking, there's generally a problem there.
We're at the quarter pole. So NFL MVP, it's got to be J.J. Watt, right? He's got more touchdowns than any Patriot not named Rob Gronkowski. The guy's a beast. And he got the money. Isn't it nice to see guys play after they get the money?
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. But didn't we know before he got the money that this dude is a player?
He's only 4 years in.
But when you watched him, he's always, motor's always one of those, high motor. Not only is he a high motor, he's a tremendous athlete. And he's a guy that you can move all over the place. And to me, he's one guy that I would love to see wearing that flying Elvis on the side of his helmet.
J.J. Watt, when you watch him, there's times where he gets blocked. It's what happens after that that really makes a guy a player. You just can't quantify that. You can't figure it out at the combine. You can't even necessarily figure it out in a preseason game or practice. They get out there, and guys like Watt just cannot be stopped on the field.
All right, guys, good stuff right there. We got to look at the Cincinnati Bengals because they're sitting there undefeated coming in for a primetime Sunday night matchup. That's next. All right, the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals coming to town. Ooh, stop the presses. But they do have a heck of a receiver in A.J. Green. But in the offseason, what do? We paid for Darrelle Revis. First time we're really going to test this guy. Revis Island here, top of your screen. Watch A.J. Green. Nice little cushion right here. He's going to get you with what? The double move. Good play fake this way. Dalton sets his feet. Must be nice to have guys that get 6 yards behind the corner. Just put the ball out there, let him go get it. He's really good after the catch, folks. So you got to have some safety help over the top. Now, bottom of your screen, bad job by the corner. Gets the head way out over the feet. You lose your balance. This guy's an elite receiver. Got to keep your feet under him. That's why you love Revis. Low center of gravity, smooth. Bottom line, right side again. Hey, this isn't rocket science. Every time Andy Dalton throws the long ball, it's down the right side to this guy, A.J. Green. Pull a little help over the top. Get Darrelle Revis. A.J. Green, meet Mr. Revis. Hopefully it's Revis Island. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And the Cincinnati Bengals come to town, guys. The only undefeated team left here in the AFC. More importantly, they're coming off a bye week. How hard is it playing teams coming off the bye week, especially a team that's undefeated?
Well, I mean, I think it's extremely hard to play a team that's coming off a bye week because guess what? They've been relaxing. They've been watching. They've been studying. They've had extra time to watch you as a team. So they're going to be fresh. They're going to be ready to go. You're coming off of a game where you've just played and it was a tough game. And, you know, physically you got beat. Mentally you got beat. So I think when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals team coming off of a bye, but the thing is they got to come here to New England. So it's you're playing at home. If you can play your style of game, yep. You can win.
Bye week is such a huge advantage. Yeah. You get all that work time to figure things out, and they can't game plan against you as much or be physical during the practice week because they had a short one.
Andy Dalton is in his fourth year, and in the offseason, he gets the big contract. They load up and give it to him before the season starts, Wiggy. What do you make of Dalton?
When you look at Andy Dalton, I want him to be throwing the football. I want him to be taking all the chances and all the shots. I'm putting as many as I can in the box and saying, you're not going to run. You're going to have to throw it and beat me throwing the football. And let's see if he can do that.
I think this is a unique week, though, for the Patriots schedule. I mean, you're 5 games in now, and you have, I think, the first time where a team has lots of weapons. Depth with that secondary group is what we were raving about in the preseason. This is the first game where that depth is important. And it's not just they got one good guy and we've got Revis and we'll somehow take him away and survive with the other people.
You got Geno Atkins there. You got on the end, you got Carlos Dunlap, big guy, long stretchy guy, 6'6", 280. How concerned are you, Matt? Start with you. You know, this offensive line, we think we have 5 guys now. Another day forward, another week forward, but a pretty good defensive front.
I would look for them to pound those guys with the running game first to slow down the pass rush. The last thing you want is them sitting in pass pro down after down after down.
Wouldn't you blitz the heck out of New England, though? I mean, wouldn't you?
I would.
You got that type of personnel on defense. You got a good secondary. Yep. You got corners that could cover. Don't you roll the dice and say, bring the heat?
Because I say this. I say, besides Edelman, and Gronkowski's not at 100% yet, your offensive line is in disarray. You got 7-8 guys that you shuffle through a five-man position. I'm bringing the house because I'm saying this. Who are you going to throw the football to, and can you block?
Tom is exceptionally at finding the hot route. So if you want to send six, I think that actually helps him because that gets the ball out quicker.
Speeds up the read.
And
programs him, this is where I'm going.
And he knows where it's going to go pre-snap. He's able to get out of his hands.
Just does the receiver know where he's going.
But that's the problem.
He missed LaFell. They brought that safety from 30 yards last week.
But see, that's the issue. Yes, Brady is great at finding the hot guy, but is the hot guy aware of
everybody getting... That's 37-year-old making a bad throw.
But is the hot guy aware to get his head back and make sure he's looking at the quarterback?
Yeah. All right, guys. Good stuff. Coming up next, we have to make our picks. I think last week somebody picked one of the guys that was even inactive. So we got to brush up on that. We give you our picks and our game changer, the guy that will make the biggest play, the impact player of the game. That's all next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. New ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This is the week if you want to start Eli Manning on your fantasy team. After a rough start, Manning seems to have clicked with the Giants' new offense. And this week, the Giants are facing the Atlanta Falcons and their 31st-ranked pass defense. But keep Alfred Morris on the bench. The Washington running back has had a solid start, but with Seattle coming off a bye week, the Seahawks defense will be swarming when they come east Monday night. Sleeper this week? Michael Floyd of the Cardinals. The receiver out of Notre Dame hasn't scored yet, but he's averaging nearly 23 yards per catch, and Arizona may be playing catch-up when they're at Mile High this week. This week's fantasy picks are brought to you by Verizon. Never miss a Patriots game this season with the combined power of NFL Mobile and Fios Quantum TV and Internet, exclusively from Verizon.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Time for the picks and the impact player. I guess the game changer. Hopefully there will be some that we hit that aren't even inactive this week. Matt, start with you. Score and game changer.
Well, I'll go game changer first. I'm going to go Rob Gronkowski. I feel it sort of starting to happen. Slowly. I think he's going to pick it up and just add on to the productivity we've seen in past weeks. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with Cincinnati just on past history. I'm not going to be surprised if the Patriots win, but I'll just stick with my pick of an overtime win by Cincinnati 23-20.
Good job covering yourself in case the Patriots
win.
Exactly. All right,
yeah. I'm going to go.
He gets it.
Yeah. My game changer, I feel like this is the week for Rob Ninkovich. For some reason, I just feel like he's going to make a difference. And I know it's going to be a tough game. I think the Patriots pull this one off. I can't see them losing 2 games in a row. I think they win 24 21 Patriots.
All right, I think this is the week where Darrelle Revis really steps up, because guess what? You got to play some man-to-man. A.J. Green, elite receiver. Revis is my game changer. Patriots lose 17-16, but they hold Cincy out of the end zone. They just can't score enough right now. They got to fix these offensive woes. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.
Trip to the left. Wide side of the field. Brady short drop, quick set. Throws to LaFell on the slant. Makes the grab. Runs away from a defender. Runs away from three. All alone to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!